Good morning, good morning, good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Man, doing better now that the power's on a little bit. What do you guys think? Either way, I'm excited. Excited to be here, excited to worship with you guys, excited to be able to dig into God's Word and be able to proclaim the gospel this morning. I'm just excited. One of the things that we do as we dig into our text today, if you guys are visiting today, I just want to share with you. If you're, Luke, I can go ahead and say if you're listening online, because I've heard lately that several people listen online if they miss a Sunday. We have been going straight through 1 Corinthians. We are in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 this week. We're starting at verse 17 and going through 24. So if you guys want to open up your Bibles, if you don't have a Bible, there's one probably in the pew in front of you. If there's not, we can get you one. Feel free to grab that Bible if you don't have one, or you know somebody that needs one, take it home with you. That's our gift to you. If it is a little worn and torn and you say, man, I like a new one, we got some new ones in the back, or if you need more than one to send out, we've got some in the back. Feel free to take those. Look down, Caleb, are these your keys up here? Yeah. And there's a game that Caleb likes to play with himself. It's where my keys are. And apparently they're up here today. That's a little. Hey, Caleb, is this you right here? It's you? Okay. You got it, we found him. I think it was last week you said, hey, can you come back? And I've locked my keys up somewhere. Yeah. That's a weekly thing here at Fireside. Where has Caleb hid his own keys? So, but that being said, we're glad that you are here. We're going to be going through. Has anybody ever been in a situation in life where you just totally want to just step out and walk away? And I don't mean just like I want to quit my job today and go find another job. Like, man, how amazing would it be to be able to just pack up, hopefully, and just you and your family, and not just you, but you and your family, if you have a family, or just yourself, or whatever. And it's like, man, it would be nice to get up and just move to, like, I think Luke and I talked about that at one time, like, just move to Florida, right? And start everything over again, and just be a totally new person in an area where nobody knows me. Anybody ever wanted to do that before? Let's be honest. Yeah. Yeah, we go through a certain point in life where we're just like, man, I just want to be something different than I am. I want to be in a different situation. I am struggling. Man, I am here and this job's got me worn down, or maybe my relationship has me worn down with whoever it is, whether it be a family member or a spouse or with your kids or neighbor or whatever. You want to just get out of it. Or maybe you've been in that place in life where you're just like, God, I know you have me here, but I don't want to be here anymore. I want to be something different. I don't want to be in this current situation. I just want to be in that situation. And I look at somebody over here and I want to be like them. Or I want to be like that person over there. I want to be anybody but me. See, the church in Corinth was having those same sort of problems as they were dealing with things that say in their own lives, in the church's lives, you know, I don't want to be where I am at. And maybe this thing that we have, and we'll call it religion, I'm not going to call it a relationship, but maybe this Christian religion can change things for me. Right? If I go to church, if I go in and be a part of this, if I go in and be a part of that group, maybe that God that they talk about will pull me out of the situation I'm in, whether it be financial, maybe it's what race you were born into, maybe it was what gender or whatever. All of these things, everybody is now in society wanting to be different from what they were created or in a place that they were created to be. We just want to change. We think that changing will fix things, right? Like, there are times in life where I've heard people say, you know, it would be really awesome if instead of being 5'8", I was more like 6'3", like you are, Kirill, right? I've had people at work say that to me. And sounds fantastic. Chad. Chad's like, man, be awesome. He's sitting here raising his hand right now. Although, whenever I go to work and I get up on the roof, there are sometimes these ducts that we have to crawl under. And I try to bend down as far as I can as Chad just walks under. I think, man, how nice it'd be to be Chad's height right now. And in turn, when we have those situations, when we have those things, we change things in life. We get doctors to go in, and they actually have surgeries now. Well, they will cut part of your leg bones and put spacers in there to give you a couple of more inches in height. Although we think, man, you go through all that pain and that everything that you go through, why would you do that just to gain a few more inches in height? We have all of these situations in life that people are changing what they are, who they are, the situation they're in. And let me tell you, in the end, if you're not with Christ where He wants you to be, where God has placed you at, you aren't going to find the ability to be happy, to be joyful, and to be content in your life. There's always going to be something bad, something wrong. As a little kid growing up, I used to remember, and I hope this doesn't offend anybody, but I used to watch my Cubs, and my favorite baseball player growing up. Did anybody grow up in the Maguire-Sosa era? Did anybody grow up? Yeah, so as I was growing up in that era, Sammy Sosa was one of my favorite baseball players. He played for my favorite baseball team. The guy could just absolutely crush a baseball. And every time him and Mark McGwire would go back and forth, you know, Mark McGwire would go up, I'd be like, oh, you know, I like Mark, but he's not Sammy. And I want to be like Sammy whenever I grow up. I want to be able to hit a baseball like Sammy hits a baseball. I want to be able to throw a baseball like Sammy throws a baseball. I want to be able to play for the Cubs one day like Sammy got to play for the Cubs. And his life must be perfect. How could you not want to be Sammy Sosa? And then you see through life that Sammy Sosa automatically, or sometime in his life, had some struggles with who he was. And he started changing things, and now he's unrecognizable as who he used to be. We see that in life. We see changes, and you wonder, what happened there? We see people that are great comedians that take their own life because they want to be out of a situation, right? We've seen that in the news. And they end their lives because they don't want to be where they are. Something's wrong. Something's different. We want to step out, and the church is having these problems. And then we get to a different situation, and we're going to read as we dig in here. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 17, he says, "Let each one live his life in the situation the Lord assigned when God called him. This is what I command in all the churches. Was anyone already circumcised when he was called? He should not undo his circumcision. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? He should not go get circumcised. Circumcision does not matter, and uncircumcision does not matter. Keeping God's commandments is what matters. Let each of you remain in the situation in which you were called. Were you called while a slave? Don't let it concern you. But if you can become free, by all means, take the opportunity. For he who is called by the Lord as a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called as a free man is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of people. Brothers and sisters, each person is to remain with God in the situation in which he was called." Let's pray. Lord God, as we dig into your word today, I just ask that you allow us to know who we are, not by our terms or by the world's terms, but by the one who created us, by your terms, Lord. Allow us to know what situation we need to be in, what situation you have placed us in, who you have created us to be, and allowed us to find joy and excitement in glorifying you through those situations and through that circumstance that we are in. Lord, allow us to know a little bit more of you today. Allow your spirit to come in, to come into us, to open our ears and our mouths, and allow us to speak and hear and study you in your name, to praise you and to glorify you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So as we get in, we have been talking a lot about marriage and about a lot of things that are going on in the Corinthian church as far as people were starting to say, hey, it's better to be married or not to be married, and what the grounds for marriage. And we see all the problems that led into that. And we've read about that. Now we get into another situation here that just builds off of what Paul is talking about here. Paul says all of those things that we're doing, he gets into a situation where he talks about all of those things are because we're not content in who God wants us to be. We're not content in the situation that he created us to be. We're not content where he has placed us, and yet we are changing so many things, and he doesn't want us to. It says, let each one live his life in the situation the Lord assigned when God called him. Now, this seems a little bit different from what we should strive as humans, right? See, as humans, we always have this idea, if I can get to this point in life, if I can make it there, if I can get out of this situation, then my life is going to be better. Everything is going to be fixed. And you say, well, there are certain situations that I want to be in, or I don't want to be in. If you grew up in extreme poverty, more than likely you want to get out of the area that you're in, and you want to get into an area that you would be out of that poverty, right? If you come in and you are in a situation where you are in a certain town that you don't want to be in, and you don't like the way that town is, my goal growing up, and I used to hear this in high school, I just can't wait to get out of Kingston. Right? Has anybody ever heard somebody say that about their hometown? I just can't wait to get out of here. The funny part is, and maybe even the sad part in some ways, is that a lot of times whenever we get out of the situation that we're in, we go into another area. Maybe we leave Kingston, we go into another area, and we're not happy there either. We find out that Knoxville or Rockwood is just as bad in some ways, maybe even worse than what we came out of. We find that whenever we follow one way of life, we follow certain gods in this earth, whether it be money or fame, that we get into following those gods, we get closer and out of that poverty situation and realize that we have even more issues. I remember going through college and my wife and I and Luke and I would go through college, and we'd always be wondering, you know, what are we going to do? How are we going to make it financially? I remember us, Luke and I, taking crock pots and relocating ramen noodles from our house, right? And we take this crock pot and we make this big old pot of chicken noodle soup. Every now and then, Mom would go by canned chicken at the house, so we would commandeer the canned chicken, and we'd have actual chicken noodle soup. And we're like, man, one day we're going to graduate college, we're going to have jobs, we're not going to have to be able to worry about this anymore, right? We're going to actually have enough paycheck to be able to go out and actually buy like Campbell's chicken noodle soup, not Browning third floor chicken noodle soup, right? And yet, whenever we get older, we get into our jobs, and then all of a sudden, we make more money, we have better finances, or so we think, and then the next thing you turn around, and you look, and you say, man, if I could just get that promotion and have a little bit more, I wouldn't be in the current situation I'm in. If I could just be that guy over there, if I could get out of the situation I'm in, everything would be good. And then we turn into and say, well, somebody will tell us, hey, maybe it's because you're not close enough to God. Has your prayer life been there? Have you been working on this? Have you gotten there? And everything we think is because, oh, wait a minute, you know, if I would just go join that church and I would go and sit down and I would pay my tithes and everything, if I would do those things, then maybe I'll be blessed through it. But that's not what Paul's saying that we need to do. That is not the type of religion that we need. As a matter of fact, I'm here to tell you, like, we need no religion. We need just relationship. We don't need tradition that isn't called for God to have tradition. We don't need those things that the world tells us you have to have. We don't have to have the pews. We don't have to have the buildings. We don't have to have the paycheck. We don't have to have any of those things. We don't have to have the titles. What we have to have is Christ. And yet the church at Corinth is saying, wait a minute. You know, Paul, remember when he talked about being single? Maybe if I was single and I could get out of this relationship. Maybe if I was married, maybe I get out of this relationship. Maybe I shouldn't live my life this way or live my life that way. And Paul says, wherever it has been assigned for you to be when God called you, that's where you need to be. Was anyone already circumcised when he was called? Now, when we get into this situation and we talk about circumcision here, we're really talking about being Jews or Gentiles, right? Sometimes we get in that situation where, and the church is saying, man, if I looked a little bit less like the Jews and more like the Gentiles, and they have all their reasons for saying that, right? All those reasons for saying that. And we say this in our own way here in churches now, if I looked a little bit less like the established church and more like what God wanted me to be, then everything would be fixed, because everything that your church has to offer has to be wrong because I was hurt or my situation is wrong or something was bad. If I looked different from the church, then I'd be okay. And he goes in just a little bit farther and he says, the uncircumcised or the Gentiles start wanting to look like the Jews. And they say, man, if we weren't the outsiders, the outcasts, the everything, and we were more like the Jews, we're going to physically change our bodies. We're going to physically change our situation to look more like them. And then you got two groups of people that want to be each other, but they're lost. They don't know what to be. Why are they lost? Because they've come into worldliness. They've come into world-established religious practices. They've come into what the people in the pews decided church should be, what God's people should be, instead of what God had told us we should be. Whether you were born a Jew or a Gentile, white or black, man, woman, wherever you are, Christ should be able to lead you in the way he sees fit, and wherever you're at, even if you don't like it, you should find peace and grace and love in it. You should find joy in it. You say, well, how can I don't like who I am. I don't like where God's placed me. I don't like the situation that I'm in. As a matter of fact, we talked about the height difference in somebody who wants to be tall. When we talk about the circumcision practices, there are actual documented evidence of people that were circumcised having reverse circumcision surgery to look even more so. Like, we go to the extremes to look like something different than what we were created to be. This is not a political message. If anyone's visiting today, I'm going to tell you, this is not a political message. This is not what's going on in society's message. We go straight through. What this is we all desire to be something different from what we are. And God created us and he put us in situations to be able to glorify and build his kingdom where we are. He goes in, he says, it doesn't matter what those situations, whether you are Jew, whether you're Gentile, whether you're whatever, it doesn't matter. What matters is, are you following? Are you keeping God's commandments? Is what matters, is what he says. verse 19. Are we following or are we keeping his commands? And you say, it's real easy because, Kirill, you're not in the same situation as me. You're not there. You wouldn't understand. You haven't had to struggle through those times, right? I have. I've had to struggle in those times in my life. I've been in a situation where my mother and I were struggling and going back and forth from different relatives' houses and staying the night to be able to have a home to sleep in or having to go get something to eat. I've been there. I've been in that situation. I've been in that situation where you are in a place that you're working a job that you just don't want to work in. I've been in that situation where every day you wake up and you think, I don't want to be here. Believe it or not, there have been times, and anybody that has been married and said there haven't been difficult times in a relationship where you have wondered if you and your spouse were supposed to be together because you're constantly fighting about how you raise your kids or is the house clean or is the finances in order. I've been there. I know, and I have said in those situations in my mind to myself, is this where I want to be? And each and every time when I seek God and I say, God, where is it that you want me to be? He says, take the fullness of where you're at and glorify me in that situation. Love me in that situation. And you say, well, that doesn't make any sense. Tell me and show me. How does Paul speak on this? Well, if we go to the book of Acts, in chapter 16, I can't imagine a better story of someone being in a terrible situation. And we've preached this passage before here, but I want to show you again a terrible situation where Paul actually, what's the phrase, puts his money where his mouth is or whatever, it puts his mouth where money is. He is there and he talks out of experience. Starting at verse 25, Acts chapter 16, verse 25 says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. I just want to let you guys know, Paul is in prison, in the depths of the prison. Remember, he cast out the demon out of this lady that was giving money by reading fortunes to people. And they said, hey, wait a minute, they took our livelihood. Paul and Silas took our livelihood and they threw them in jail. And they are in the jail in the darkest places. It's nasty. It's disgusting. They are shackled up. They are tied up. It is dark. It is nowhere that any of us want to be. Some of us in our life are in that same situation right now, maybe not physically, but you are in a dark place in your life. You feel tied down. You feel beat down. You feel like you're hopeless. There is no way that anybody then in your mind could understand where you're at. There is nothing else to do but to sit there and see what is going to take your life. What's the next beating? How long am I going to be here? There is no chance for hope. He is at the mercy of the ones that have placed him in this jail cell to let him back out. The world has tied them down, and what do they do? In the pits of their misery, it says about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Maybe in that place that you're at, maybe in that pit that you're in, maybe in that situation you're in, maybe you're there because it's your job to proclaim the gospel to somebody sitting beside you. Maybe that's the reason you're there. And as Christians, we have to find joy in being there. And what better way to find joy and show our joy for the situation than to be singing and praising God and praying to him. They were worshiping in the worst situation that they could be in, and they were worshiping. Suddenly there was a violent earthquake that the foundations of the jail were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains came loose. End of story, right? As a matter of fact, if I just ended right there and said something different than what was said, let me just say that and said, hey, and then they just walked out. Nobody ever realized they were in the jail. Thank goodness that they prayed and they sang those hymns because they got to just walk right out of the jail cell. Wouldn't that sound like a great story? Whatever situation you're in, here is when the message is over, we are going to sing another song. There's going to be a time that you can pray. Wouldn't it be awesome that after that one song and after that prayer, that whatever situation you're in, that God just took the chains off that situation and you just walked right out of it? Anybody want that? Let's be honest. Anybody want that? Yeah. And we get in the pulpit and we preach that and we tell that and we show that and we let that know and we say, because of their faith, God allowed them to leave the jail cell. And that's not what happened, was it? That's why we never just preach parts of the passage. See, the chains being broken and the doors being flung open weren't for Paul and Silas. It wasn't for them. That was done for God to show his power. And see, Paul and Silas realized it was for God and to show his power. And how do I know that? Because it goes in just a little bit deeper. Everyone's chains were loose. When the jailer woke up and saw the doors of the prison standing open, he drew his sword and was going to kill himself, since he thought the prisoners had escaped. He thought he had failed and that the people above him were going to come and take his life for not gathering these prisoners. He was now in a situation where he was holding people down because of what the world had placed him in, a situation to hold prisoners down, to keep them there. Now he was a prisoner himself, fearing for his life. Why? Because everything that he had focused on up to this point had been for himself and for his family and for his own life. That quickly he went from the one in charge to the one in fear. That quickly he went from the prison guard to the prisoner. That quickly in his own mind. And yet it wasn't Paul and Silas that God was there to save and to set free. It was the prison guard that he was there to save and set free. The one that was holding the keys to the physical jail cell was getting ready to see Jesus face to face, the true key to freedom, the only way to freedom, only through grace, only given to him, only because of his faith, and Jesus was the only one that could do it. And yet he thought he had power. He thought he was in a situation. Now the tides have quickly turned. It says he about took his own life, but Paul called out in a loud voice, "Don't harm yourself, because we're all here." He could have ran out of the situation that he was in. He could have got away, but he said, no, God seeks for me to cry out and say that we're all here to stay in the situation that I'm in, to stay in the jail cell that I'm in, to stay in Kingston, to stay in the situation that I'm in, to stay in the marriage that I'm in, to stay in the whatever it is that is hindering you, to stay in that place, that job that you just can't understand why you can't get out of. You need to be there until God says go. And he calls out and says, don't harm yourself, because we're all here. The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. He escorted them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He knew there was nothing else, no one else but God that could have done this. What do I need to be saved? They said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Not only you, but your entire household will be saved. He's coming in to the ones that were bound up and saying, what do I need to do to be like you? I can't do it, but Christ can. You can do it, but Jesus can. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him along with everyone in his house. He took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. You know, I couldn't imagine, as he's washing their wounds, there's a good chance that this same jailer that was sitting there probably caused some of the wounds that were on their body. In life, sometimes we're in that situation where, and Paul was right there, right? Where our entire life we had been beating everybody down, destroying everything, hurting people. This jailer had more than likely been a part of those beatings, and now he was washing the wounds. And could you imagine the sadness and the guilt and the sorrow as he washed the wounds off of their bodies? Could you imagine as he saw what he had done to them? And thinking of what God was and has done for him and his family. And right away, he and all his family were baptized. He brought them into his house, set a meal before them, and rejoiced because he had come to believe in God with his entire household. End of story, right? It's a great story. Is that the end of it? Everybody says, yeah, man, that sounds great. You know, the jailer himself took him out, so they were probably okay. He took him out. He took him home. He washed him. Can you imagine how good is God that he took Paul and Silas out of that situation? And yet, God was still saying, hey, your time is not done yet. Because even though, I have gotten you out of that jail cell for this moment, I'm not done with that jail cell yet. Could you imagine? You just got prepared a meal by the jailer. All your wounds had been washed. Everybody's apologetic. People were saved. And what does Paul and Silas say? When daylight came, the chief magistrate sent the police to say, release those men. Awesome. Fantastic. Yes, let's get out of here. And the jailer reported these words to Paul. The magistrates have sent orders for you to be released, so that come out now and go in peace. Come on out now so you guys can just go ahead and leave. And all of us would gladly just say, let's go. Let's get out of here. Let's get out of this situation. Good. It seems like we've done enough. But Paul said to them, they beat us in public without a trial, although we are Roman citizens, and threw us in jail. And now they're going to send us away secretly? Certainly not. On the contrary, let them come themselves and escort us out. The police reported these words to the magistrates. They were afraid when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, so they came to appease them. In escorting them from prison, they urged them to leave town. After leaving the jail, they came to Lydia's house, where they saw and encouraged the brothers and sisters and departed. Not only did they say that I want to be out of this situation, not only did they say, will you guys leave, they said, hey, wait a minute. God needs to be glorified. He's placed us in this situation. He wants everybody to know who he is. They have done wrong against us. We don't want it for ourselves, but we want it for God. If we lived our lives less about ourselves and more about him, less about our desires and our current situation and more about him. See, that's the problem that the Corinthian church had. They wanted to be everything that they weren't. They wanted to be everywhere that they weren't. They wanted to be something different. Yet we aren't to be of this world, are we? Not politically. Not physically even. This isn't our home. This is temporary. This is a place that we have to be awaiting to go home. And yet we think that we need to go out and fight everything. You know what's, and this is funny because I've had a conversation with one of you this week, but it fits right in here. You don't want to know what's the worst, or actually, let me say this. What's the best thing that you can do for the world? Is to actually allow the world to know that you care about what they do. It really is. And you say, wait a minute, am I not supposed to want to take care of the world and everything? Yeah, you are. You should absolutely desire for everything to change, but it wouldn't be because of the world. It's because God seeks to change the world. So the worst thing that you can do in the world's eyes is to sit back and say, you know what? Do what you want to do. It doesn't involve me. What I seek is to glorify God. And in turn, what happens whenever we glorify God first, whether it matters to the world or not, when we glorify God first, then everything around us changes. See, we think that we got to be the ones out there fighting. And God says, no, I'll do the fighting. You be faithful. I'll guide your hands. You be willing. I'll give you the power. You stand there when I tell you to stand there. You open your mouth when I tell you to open your mouth. You use your hands and your feet when I tell you to use your feet. And you do it for me. Don't do it for the world. When it becomes less about the world and more about God, everything changes. When your marriage comes more about glorifying God than it does fixing each other. When your children become more about glorifying God through the way you raise and you love your children than it does about them being happy. When our workplace says, I want to glorify God so that everyone in this situation that I'm in will understand, will be able to see God's grace and love and glory. He even talks about being a slave in this situation. If you were born into slavery, and that's where God needs you to be able to proclaim the gospel to the other slaves and the slave owners, be okay with being there. Now, he also says, but if there is opportunity, don't just say no. If there is that opportunity to get that promotion, maybe that promotion's where he needs you to be. It doesn't mean changing who we are. It doesn't mean changing where I am. It's changing the location because God set me there. Those are two totally different things that the church at Corinth didn't understand. And we use that excuse today. God wanted me to be that. God wanted me to follow that person. God wanted me to be with that person. God wanted me to work there. And we in no way ask or pray to or seek God's guidance. It's what we desire, and we go out and we do it. God wanted me to be able to hit big on that cryptocurrency dealer. God wanted me to do this and all the things, and then all of that that we say is, if he did, it is to glorify himself, not us. Let each of you remain in the situation in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Don't let it concern you. Don't even worry about it. Don't let it concern you. But if you can become free, by all means, take the opportunity. For he who is called by the Lord as a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, who is called as a free man is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of people. Question is, here, if Paul says that each and every one of us is slaves to something, if we are owned by something, what are we going to be owned by? Are we going to be owned by the world? Are we bought and paid for by Christ? See, we have this negative connotation of that word, that master and that slave, and we think because history has told us that slave owners and for the world, yes, have all been terrible, but there is someone that loves us, that bought us and brought us in and drew us in with his own blood. He paid the price of our sins. He paid for that price for us. I freely give him my life. I seek for him to own me because I'm going to tell you, if it's all about me, if I make decisions for myself, I'm going to fail. If Christ guides me and leads me and tells me in everything that I do, I will succeed eternally, not temporarily, forever. Brothers and sisters, each person is to remain with God in the situation in which he was called. Wherever you are today, whether you're in that situation where you say, I just want to get fixed. I want to be out of this job. I want to be out of this relationship. I want to be out of this situation. I want to be out of this body. I want to be out of everything that I am. He says, you've been called to be there. Glorify God through it. Allow his truth to guide us. Alistair Begg said it is when we become captives to God's truth, then we can find real freedom. You want to understand what freedom from all the worldly troubles that we have are, then you first have to seek the cross and understand that God sent His Son to come here to walk as a man, to show us how to walk, to be here. And then he freely climbed up on that cross and paid for the full price of our sins. He took on sin, drank the sin cup for us, paid our debt, and died. And on the third day, rose again for us. That is how much we are loved. Were we worthy? Absolutely not. But we were cleansed by Christ's blood. Can we do it on our own? Absolutely not. But God sent His Son for us to do it for us. If you don't understand that today, then I desire for God to just come into your life. And I ask that you pray, that you read, that you seek God's truths and understand them. And I pray that God comes into your life and shows you that. But don't think of it as just a situation that, hey, man, everything will be fixed. Everything will be okay in the same way that the church in Corinth. If I just become a Christian, if I just become something else, all that, do not become a Christian any more than you need to become anything else. That's not what I'm asking you to do. I'm not asking you to say, hey, go get the calendar. Every Sunday we're going to go to church and we're going to be able to live our lives better because we're going to church. I'm not asking you to pull out anything in tithe. I'm not asking you to do any of that stuff. All of that stuff, I'm going to sit here and say, if you don't have a relationship with Christ, none of that stuff matters. Zero. You can go up here and you can jump into the baptismal. We can fill it up. We can dunk you 1,000 times. And you're proclaiming nothing but religion if you don't have a relationship with Christ. Now, if you have a relationship with Christ, everything else falls in line. You desire those things. You desire to meet as the church. You desire to follow God's will. You sometimes desire, just like Paul and Silas, to say, no, we're going to go right back to that jail cell. And we're going to fulfill what God has for us to do there. We're going to get whatever situation we're in, and we're going to proclaim Christ there. My question is, do we know Christ? Do we have a relationship with Christ? Or do we have a relationship with the world? Let's pray. Lord God, I just want to thank you so much for being with us today, for us allowing to be able to read your word, or us to be allowed to read your word and to understand your word. Thank you for your grace and mercy and providing that for us and allowing us to understand it. Lord, I ask that as we take this message, in whatever situation we're in, whatever place we're in, whether we want to be there or we don't want to be there, that we forget about all of that and we wonder about what your will is for us to be there. Lord, whether we desire to look like or be somebody else, take that away from us and give us the ability and the comfort and the knowledge that we need to be closer to you and to look more like Christ and to seek you in everything that we do. Lord, I thank you for loving us and being with us and guiding us. And I just ask that as we go out this week, that you continue to use the Spirit to be able to make decisions in our life, to be able to help us proclaim the gospel, to proclaim your message, Lord, and to be able to live it out. Lord, I thank you for all that you do, all that you are, and placing us in the situations that we're in. Allow us to glorify you in each and every one of those. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.